She's not done crunching.
I'm putting that on there for sure.
Okay, so Stevie's eating chips, and we're trying to get this intro done, and we're just trying to say welcome back to the Horse Poor Podcast.
And this episode of the Horse Poor Podcast is presented to you by
the Horse Poor Podcast.
The Horse Poor Podcast.
The Horse Poor Podcast.
www.horsepoorpodcast.com.
Just kidding. No, we need to promote our stuff because we want to bring in new merch. Stevie has been pregnant and working on new merch designs. Literally every week we get bigger in a good way. Well, actually, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks because I wasn't here last. So it's been 2 weeks. And your belly popping, girl. It's looking cute.
You're going to need to be getting into the unisex size of the Horse Poor Podcast merch there in those t-shirts right away.
Serious. Stevie has all these beautiful merch designs drawn up. Like literally her hand-drawn art is going to be on merch. But in order for you guys to see it, you're going to have to buy her stuff, you know? And we're going to continue having sales.
Out with the old.
In with the new.
Yeah. Is what we want to do.
We're putting
for you.
Oh, Steph's rapping again.
Steph, oh no.
Remember last time you rapped? Friggin' Steph. She is a rap queen.
Sometimes.
And if you buy our merch, she will rap you custom songs. Oh my God. If you give us a Patreon donation, she'll just rap your name and songs.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Oh, we need to put our Patreon in the description on our Instagram. Okay.
Yeah.
Go check the description on our Instagram because we are going to have a Patreon there. So if you'd like to show your patronage to the show.
Patronuses. Just kidding. Okay. So we gave ourselves like the coolest plug ever. What else is going on in our lives? I'll go first. I got.
All right.
I want to talk about myself,
I'm
you
gonna
guys.
I'm going to talk about myself. No, I just don't know what I'm going to talk about. But I just saw that Corley's old owner, Courtney Pearson, sent me a couple of videos of his babies getting started.
How old are they? Two or three.
Yeah. And I suck, but no, she's like sent me these videos and like her little baby Sonic is super cute and looks like a Corley mini me. And, they're riding him in an English saddle and looping him around in a big old arena and he looks awesome. So I'm really excited for her.
What kind of like future plans do they have for the horse and what discipline?
Barrel racing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll be fun for you to watch for.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. Be like, that's my baby.
Yep.
That's my baby's baby. But what about you guys?
What about you, Stevie?
Yes.
Stevie. What were you up to last week? What are you up to this coming week?
Where are you going?
What's on the schedule?
I think I told everyone what I was up to last week.
You were. But what are you doing this week?
This week, I'm grooming a lot of dogs because my wrist is feeling better.
Oh, thank goodness.
That
you should feel terrible.
That little holiday helped.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing because I didn't use it at all. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I'm going to groom a bunch of dogs and hopefully it will stay okay.
Yeah.
Fun.
Then Bart's not allowed back for a little while.
Bart's banned.
I just need to learn how to use like both hands to brush and not just one.
Me and Bart have a love-hate relationship.
Why?
Because one time I brought pizza and chicken wings and my arms were so full walking into the door here and I dropped a box of chicken wings and that little shit, he charged the chicken wings and he started running around the yard and I was chasing after him and like Steph and Steph were like in the house probably like, what is she doing?
Why is she screaming out there?
Why is she taking so long with her chicken wings?
Good news. I got the chicken wings back and the box was only half soaked and we still ate them.
Oh, Bart.
Anyways, good Bart, sorry. What about you, Steph?
I'm taking a little road trip tomorrow to go get Ray from Edmonton. And just doing a bit of like rehab stuff with her for the next month. So that's going to keep me busy. Mm-hmm. And Ashton's coming down with me tomorrow. So I have a little buddy for my long day on the road.
You're going to have so much fun.
Are you just going there and back in one day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just doing that. And then honestly, yeah, like I have to do these exercises and stretches with Ray 2-3 times a day for like the next month. So I'm going to be sticking close to home. So
what kind of exercises?
Like stretches, a lot of like core stuff. Yeah.
Do you miss her?
I'm really excited to see her tomorrow. Hope she's feeling good.
She's probably feeling so good.
Hopefully. Maybe too good, like in a stall. I've never had her in a stall for like a week before, but I can't imagine her being too crazy.
Nah.
Hopefully. If she's anything like her sister.
Yeah, I know. Yours gets crazy in a stall, and Ricky gets crazy in a stall. So we'll see.
Hopefully. Just Ray, this is for your own good.
Ray is probably like, mm-hmm. I'm good in here, man. I don't get my feet wet. My hair looks good.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm feeling myself.
And then, so yeah, I plan on like doing a bunch of just at home, like I just pretty much do hand walking and stretches for like 4 weeks. And then I did message Cooley Equine today because they have, I've seen those Equibands mm-hmm. where like they put the surcingle on or a saddle and you can work your horse in those Equibands inside the hot walker while they do their intervals.
Cool.
And they have the swimmer and stuff too. So I am going to maybe look into sending her there for a little bit because I think that'll just be super beneficial mm-hmm. once we do the original rehab. Yeah.
Do you know, have they ever had a horse with Ray's surgery?
I think they have. I did a little creeping on their page and I'm pretty sure they have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. I'll have to talk a little bit more about Ray's surgery at some point. I don't know if I wanna. It's a long story. Yeah.
We'll have like a podcast just devoted to Ray.
Maybe we'll get Ray Chronicles on here too.
Ray Chronicles. Yeah. With a vet would be really fun.
Boom shakalaka.
Great idea. So yeah, that's.
What was that?
And you got so into character when you said that. You didn't even look at us. You like looked away like you were someone else. I love it.
Oh my goodness.
And if you don't keep it in there, I'm actually going to file one.
Okay. What was that futurity that was just on? The De Niro one.
Yeah.
De Niro Dash or something.
Did you listen to that announcer?
No.
Man, he was nuts.
He did sound like Elvis.
What?
He did sound like
Elvis. I was like waiting Thank you. Thank you very much. Like,
he's like, on a dash to fame and we're going to eat so long.
We're going to Memphis.
Like, it was nuts, man. I couldn't believe it.
I love it.
It was funny.
Oh, I love it. That's
hopefully
awesome.
He doesn't listen to the Horse Boy podcast.
Sorry, guy.
Well, if sorry, you do, Elvis. Please come on. Like, we want to chat.
I want to hear you say my name. See if you can get my last name.
Yeah.
That's true. So I guess maybe put him to the test. Maybe the last order of business on this intro is that we actually got our sponsor package made. Mm-hmm. It looks bomb. So if you guys feel like being a partner on the show, let us know. We'll send you our package. And yeah.
That was cool. You rhymed.
Did I?
Whoa.
Also, natural.
It comes so natural.
Do you know what I'm so excited for next week?
What?
The winner of our giveaway is going to be on our intro.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Right. We're doing that tonight.
We're doing that tonight.
We actually should wrap this intro up.
So we can get out of here.
We're getting out.
Get out.
Horseport out. So without any further delay, we are excited to bring you rancher, barrel racer, owner of Tom Check Performance Horses, and Double J saddle fitter, Julie Fassette. Well, thanks for being cool with winging it a little bit. It'll be fun.
Yeah, no, that's how I fly. That's how I roll.
Perfect.
Welcome to the Horseport Podcast. We are so excited to have you on. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you ladies doing today?
Oh, good. It's warm outside. It's almost t-shirt weather, plus one.
I didn't even wear a coat to work today. Just thought it was summertime.
Yeah.
I know. It's... I don't really know what to do with myself. It's beautiful.
You can go sun tanning. Actually, I went and got a spray tan today and it looks like I went quadding and have a bunch of mud on my face. It's great. It's feeling the, no, I was in a course and I had like, we all had to spray tan each other. Oh. And yeah. So
I was going to say, what are you getting ready for?
Nothing really. So where do we find you at today? Like your location wise?
I'm located in Arlee, Saskatchewan.
Where in tarnation is that?
I call it the edge of the world. We are about an hour and a half northwest of Saskatoon.
Okay. So
that would be the biggest, I guess, city or the biggest vicinity around us. But, we just ranch right up along the river here on the North Saskatchewan River. And
that sounds beautiful. Nice.
Yeah. Do you use your horses for ranching a lot?
No. We did when we were a little bit smaller and had a lot more time, but now that we've got way too many cattle, it's we just use the quads or husband would say, use the horses under the hood.
Horses under the hood. That's funny.
Yeah.
How many just cows do you guys have?
About 350 to 400
head. Wow. Oh, and calving season just around the corner, unless it already started for you guys yet. That's like the best time of the year.
Oh, it's going to be crazy because we're going to be foaling here in about 12 days. Ooh. And then we're going to be breeding and we're going to be calving all at the same time.
You're going to be busy.
I'm going to need a lot of whiskey. Yeah.
Whiskey and coffee to keep you going.
Yeah.
Coffee what? And Bailey's, you bet.
Yeah.
What about mares? How many mares do you have foaling out?
I've got 2 foaling out this year of my own, and then next year, hopefully 3. Hopefully we'll get them all caught next or this coming spring, I guess.
Yeah, nice.
Sweet. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Get them babies on the ground. Mm-hmm. Pretty cute.
So what bloodlines are you guys breeding over there?
I've got a Bay Roan stallion. He's just 5 years old, or just coming 5, so it'll just be his maturity year. And he is a Streak of Fling, 99 Gold Mine, and Bar Hemp on the bottom side.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, I just got him back from Riley McKenzie. So she was running them in Alberta since nothing's going on here in Saskatchewan. And so she's got him going tickety-boo here now. So hopefully we can get this COVID stuff done and get barrel racing again.
Yeah. So does he have any babies on the ground right now?
Or yeah, this is we first have year? One last year. Her name is Frankie.
Frankie.
And,
cute.
Yeah. He is a spitfire, that one.
Sassy little filly.
Yeah,
sassy filly. She's, so Streak of Fling, 9-inch Gold Mine, Bar Hemp, and Fast Moon Chick, and Duck's Paradise. So she should be able to run and turn a barrel.
Yeah, for sure.
So, or even just do ranch work or rope as well.
Yeah. So is your stallion from our neck of the woods up here then?
He is. I got him from Vicky Johnson up in Fairview, Alberta. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever I hear the Streak of Fling and 99 Gold Mine, I think of Steph's little Ricky horse. And there's a lot of them running around up here. Yeah. They're really nice. Yeah.
They're all kind of just young. So they're just going to be hitting the barrel pens here, I think, just last year and now this year as well. So they're, it's really interesting to watch them run. Yeah, fingers crossed. I've got big dreams for him, so hopefully.
Yeah.
Cool. So, talking about barrel racing with yourself, do you want to talk about like how you got into it and kind of where you're at competing now?
You bet. So, I started in the Saskatchewan Barrel Racing Association, so SBRA. I started in the youth in 1995, so I've been at this for quite a while. But I started with my first little Welsh pony. She was only 14 hands, and I think everybody used to laugh at me when I sacked that little pony out of the trailer, but they quit laughing when I was out running their thoroughbreddy style horses. You know, back in the day, we were running against was in big thoroughbreddy bodied styled horses, so but she could make up the turns so quick, she just couldn't run maybe as fast in between barrels, but she could make up the time in the turns. So it was pretty cool running that little ginger is what I had.
Oh, that's so cool. Did you guys see the video on Facebook today of like the pony that had like the bucket in front of its face and the little girl that was riding it?
Oh
my god. Epic.
That was so awesome.
So
did you
cute.
See that girl ride though? She had no saddle, bridle, and just whatever second barrel she was going to, the invisible barrel.
It was an invisible second.
Started bucking and kicking on her.
She
rode him, no problem.
Just talented. Oh, that just kind of reminded me quickly of that. That's really neat.
Exactly.
So you went from a Welsh pony, and then where'd you go next?
Yeah, so I just kind of went through the ranks with my little pony, and as I was getting older, out of the youth and into the open, I had to, upgrade or get a bit bigger horse if I wanted to be able to compete with the older, the women, I guess, because you're going out of your youth year into your open year, and poor little Jin, she just couldn't keep up with them big horses, so I had to buy myself or upgrade myself to a quarter horse, and kind of I still ran her, but I had to pick and choose which arenas I could take her to. Like a big standard pattern, there was no point in taking her to because you just couldn't keep up with them big guys. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the nice little indoor arenas, oh, yeah. She had them in her back pocket, that little one.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess just as, you know, as you're riding and getting more knowledgeable as you go through life and stages and everything like that, you just notice changes with your horses too, and maybe tack that way. And I just kind of knew that my saddle wasn't fitting, and I just had, I mean, I didn't have a saddle growing up. I had to get a saddle to be able to barrel race. So I was about 13, 14 before I got my first saddle, and it was just a little Western rawhide. And I mean, I rode that until I was in the open type thing with this new horse, and I just noticed that it just wasn't fitting my big guy. So one year I asked every girl at the jackpot that I would go to what kind of saddle they had and if I could fit in it or if I could try it, you know, at that jackpot that day for an entire year.
Oh, wow.
Until I met a girl, and she had a Double J Posey Pro. Never heard of it, didn't know what it was, but I sat in it, I loved it. And I asked her if it was all right with her, if I could try it for a weekend. And she was awesome. She's like, yep, take it, let me try it. And boy, that was the beginning of it all, I guess.
Yeah.
I rode in it, it fit me, and I felt like it fit my horse better than what I had previously. So it just felt like home, I guess. And that's what I tell gals when I'm saddle fitting, is that you'll know when you sit in it if you like it or if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Go with your gut. Always go with your gut because it's always right. But yeah, so that's how I kind of started. Was I sat in that saddle, I rode in, I loved it, my horse rode in it really well. So then I started googling Double J, or, you know, doing some research on them, and oh, Brittany Posey, oh, okay, here we go. Kind of really neat little realization there. But phoned them up one day because I wanted to know, like, how do I go about getting my first Double J saddle type thing. And back then they had you could cut them out. They were cardboard, or you could print them off on your computer, two sides, put them together on cardboard and get their fit. And then you could take the pictures and email them to them, and they would recommend which fit would work best for you. So my very first saddle, I bought a 16-inch Posey Pro wide fit because that's what they had said would work good for my horse. And, I won, I don't know how many buckles that year. I think I won 3 or 4 buckles that year. So I was like, wow, you know, this does play a huge factor in how not only you perform, but your horse performs as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually had like a great relationship with Double J too. I think the first time I got one for myself was probably like 3 or 4 years ago. Now I had a saddle fitting with you at CBHI or ABRA or something. And I still have that saddle, and I always just have loved how it feels when I ride and run and stuff. But even, you know, like going back almost 10 years, Megan had a Double J. It was an older one. It wasn't like a Posey. It was, I think, a Lynn McKenzie or something.
Yeah, could have been a Lynn or a Double J Pro or just a Double J too.
Yeah, and I remember just like using hers or sitting in hers and always thinking that it just felt like a good quality, great fitting and feeling saddle. Like I've always loved the Double J's too, ever. Ever since I've sat in one.
Yeah, I they're just home to me, or they feel like my home. I mean, everybody rides different, and everybody prefers something totally unique to themselves, but that is totally fine.
Yeah.
There is so many good saddle makers out there. It's just to find the fit for you and the fit for your horse. That's key.
Yeah. And we are excited to talk to you a little bit more about that today too.
Yeah.
You bet.
Should we jump right into saddle fit?
Yeah.
Should we just go ahead first?
Go for it.
Let's go for it. Okay. Yeah. I've never been to you before.
Yeah, for so a fitting.
If I was going to bring my fat horses to you right now.
Actually, that's a good question. Should they be in shape? Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would prefer them to be in somewhat of shape because I have to fit the horse how it stands in front of me that day. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I don't have a little glass or a crystal ball that I can look into and be like, ah, I know exactly what your horse is going to be like when it's in shape, no hair, and ready to run type thing. So yeah. Mm-hmm. It will change the fit if they are really obese or if they're ultra skinny as well. So having a horse that is somewhat in shape, I mean, it doesn't have to be in perfect running shape, but somewhat in shape is going to go a lot further than if you have a horse that's really, really obese just coming off of winter, mm-hmm. or a very, very young horse, like a three to four-year-old horse. Those are two really, really tough fits right there. Mm-hmm. I usually recommend people to wait till their horse is either 5 or 6 to get their first fitting, and then also to try to have the horse a little bit in shape. Or if you know what your horse is going to look like, where he carries his weight, how his top line looks when he is in shape too, that'll help me launch as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. So I thought this would kind
of... So you're going to get your horse
in shape. I'm going to get my horse in
shape.
A little
bit here.
We're ready to rock. So I kind of envisioned this podcast that for someone listening, they could kind of go to the barn, sit at home or like, and put their saddle on their horse and maybe listen to like what you say, like how your fittings go. Just so they can maybe get like a visual of like what to expect when they book with you. I thought that'd be kind of cool. So if you're down to do that, let's say I bring my horse into the barn for the first time. Let's start with like how you first start the appointment and kind of like walk through the process of it.
Yeah. So when you, bring your horse, in for your appointment, I get you to, fill out a whole bunch of paperwork, listing, all your, if you're a beginner, intermediate or professional, basically rider. And then I want you to, go through all your horse's injuries. I mean, anything, whatever has been done with this horse, I would like to have that on paper because that's going to have a big effect with saddle fit as well, or just even how that horse is going to travel. And while you're filling out your paperwork, then I'm just going to go, I'm going to start at the top of your horse's head or your pole. I'm just going to work my way through the whole body and just, I'm just testing body soreness, and I'm looking at feet and just the way it travels, just to get general, I guess, feeling as to what's going on with this horse's body before we start the saddle fit.
Yeah, I love how it's so thorough.
Yeah, we have to, it's everything with the saddle fit, it basically starts from the horse's feet and goes up. So okay, if you're having problems with the horse's feet, it's going to affect kind of everything going up, right up to your saddle as well.
Mm-hmm.
And same with anything anywhere else in the body, I guess. So that's
absolutely. Teeth are another big, big factor. Mm-hmm. And body soreness, too. So if your horse, like if your horse had a bad pull a couple days ago, try to remember that when you're going in for your saddle fit and be like, oh, yeah, my horse had a bad pull or my horse fell or, you know, because that might be something that, okay, no problem. We can get a chiro and a massage and get that fixed right away. Or is there something else going on? Do we have to dig deeper to find out what's going on like that? So do we have to get vets involved? Do we have to get x-rays? Do we have kissing spines? Kind of stuff like that. Do we have, what's the underlying issue for the soreness on this horse type thing?
Yeah,
Cole's stepmom and dad came to you and they're like, whoa, like going to Julie was almost like going to a vet appointment, like because you
oh that
so
was
thrilled.
Like the last time she was here.
Yeah so that was pretty cool.
Yeah
That's awesome.
They were super cool. Impressed. Okay, so after you get and inspect their whole body, do you look at the rider first or then do you look at the horse?
Yeah, I'll go through the rider first. So I'll usually fit the rider, so I just get their height and I get their weight, and then I also do their inseam.
Okay.
So their inseam, this is what is going to affect the fender length. So me, I'm 5'5". I'm short, and I've got a shorter inseam. So if I'm going to order a saddle from Double J, the regular fenders come in a 32-inch length fender. So for myself, if I need a 30-inch fender, that'll be like 2 inches of bulk underneath that fender that I won't need. And then when you have that bulk under your fender, you don't have as much swing in your leg. It gets caught up. So, and also for a gal that's really tall, that is a 36 inseam or, you know, a 34 inseam, their fenders are going to need to be that much longer as well. So the inseam is quite important. And then also I measure their thigh. And once I get that number, I break the number down and it will tell me their seat size. And then I also measure the point of the elbow to a closed fist on the outside, not the inside. So that'll give me the length of their arm. And so based on the length of their arm number and the thigh number that I broke down, their body tells me how balanced they are or how offset they are. So for me, for existence, I've got a really big thigh. So I know I have to ride in a 23-inch bar. Make up for the, my thigh because it's a big thigh. But then I got also got a short little arm, like a little Transworth Rex arm. So I always have to reach for my saddle horn, right? But I have to ride the bigger thigh or the bigger seat for my thigh, but always have to reach ahead for my horn.
Yeah. Now, I feel if you like have I like a gal to ride that, a little bigger of a seat for that.
Yeah, you got to ride a bigger seat for your thigh, but with that bigger thigh, you have to always really reach ahead for your horn. Yeah. Now, sometimes you get gals with itty-bitty thighs and really, really long arms.
Like Megan.
So they're, yeah, and it's hard for them. So what happens with them gals is, like, if they're fitted for a 14-inch seat, but their arm is just saying that they should be riding in a 15-inch seat, they don't want to ride in a 15, and I get it, because you'd be swimming in it. But you may like a 14.5. Somewhere in between that, just to give your arm a little bit of push-pull. Because if we fit you for a 14 and your arm is saying you should be in a 15, but we put you in a 14, you're going to be stuck. As in, you're going to be stuck in there and your elbow is going to be not able to get ahead of you, like into your gut type thing, and have that push-pull.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And really get down and deep in your seat. Maybe as if you had more
kinda
room.
Your arm is just kind of flopped out there to the side and you got no push-pull with them long-armed gals.
Yeah.
And then if you're lucky enough to have your thigh the same length as your arm, which everybody would want to be, because then you can ride in basically the seat size that you get, and your arm or your hand will never get banged up on your horn because you won't be overreaching your horn. So you're a very balanced rider, say at a 14-inch or 14.5-inch seat and a 14.5-inch arm. Yeah. So it's just a few numbers that way, which break your body down and just kind of tell you how it tells me how you're riding, I guess.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool. I've only been to one saddle fitter. Well, I've only gone to like one lady for saddle fitting. And yeah, I'm like really interested to know like what I actually fit, because I have a saddle that's a 13-inch saddle that like kind of scares me, but then I feel really good in, but then I have one that's 14-inch and I feel good in that too. But yeah, no, that's really cool.
Totally different saddles. It's hard.
Yeah, and every saddle maker will measure them differently as well. So one 13-inch will feel like a 13-inch and the next one will feel like a 14 or 14.5. So the best thing is once you kind of get your body broken down like that and you know your numbers, go and sit in as many saddles as you can and find your home. Find what feels comfortable for you. Can't ride in it, at least sit and try to ask to sit in it type thing. But it's going to feel different from just sitting in it to riding in it as well. So that's another highly recommendation that I can't stress enough is if you have an opportunity in front of you, take it or find an opportunity to go and try them, because it's a lot of money in saddles, and I would rather you take a little bit of time and find exactly what you're looking for and get you exactly what you want, then you'd be like, we'll just wing it and go with this and then pull it out of the box and you're not happy with it when you ride it type thing.
Yeah. Going back to like just a random question with seat size, typically do you find in the double J's, does the pencil roll seat fit a half size smaller like some people say some brands do typically?
Not really. Well, not smaller, because if you're going to a pencil roll, well, I guess depends. If you're going in a hard seat, in a pencil roll, it might be a half inch bigger because you're losing the padding. But if you're going in a suede seat, in a pencil roll, you're going to be the same size.
Okay.
In a double J Posey Pro, I find them to be a bit smaller fitting because they don't have the cutout in the thigh like the double J Pros. Mm-hmm. So I can ride a smaller seat size. I can ride a 15 in a double J Pro because they undercut the thigh area there. So you can ride a smaller seat but have more thigh area.
Okay.
In the Posey, I actually have to ride that 16-inch seat to get that same thigh room.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's cool. No, that was helpful.
So before we go move on to like how it should fit our horse, I just have one question as to how a saddle fits ourselves. I think I maybe have like a not good perception on like how a saddle should fit me now that I talked to you, because like my mentality going into it is I don't care how a saddle fits me. As long as it fits my horse, I'll learn to ride in like whatever.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard that before.
Yeah, that's literally, I'm like, oh, whatever. Like, I don't like love the saddle I have right now, but I'm like, you know what? If it's cash, great. So I'll ride in it. Same saddle that Coralie was in. So I'm like, perfect. Like, I'll just deal with it. How important is it that a saddle fits us compared to how it fits our horses?
Well, very important, because you guys are both athletes, right? So if your horse, it's gear, it's athletic gear, right? So if it's fitting your horse and your horse is being that much more athletic, you are going to have to be that much more athletic in your seat and in your riding as your horse is. So if you're just kind of like, I'm just going to make it work for me. I don't like it. I'm going to make it work for me. You're probably hindering your horse.
True.
Because you don't like it, and you don't, even though you may not think it, you won't have the confidence that in yourself that you need to stem down to your horse, and your horse is like, okay, hold my beer, let's go. You know what I mean? So if you have to reach down, if you're not comfortable in that saddle, to reach down, grab that barrel, you know, as you're turning, set it up and go and know where your horn and your feet and what you can, you know, lift your feet up and, you know, get them by type thing. You have to be physically able to ride that saddle as well. So if you're not comfortable or confident in what you're riding, neither is your horse.
True. That's a great way to put it. Like, I feel like we always put ourselves, our horses ahead of like what we feel. So it's really cool to hear that. Yeah, we are athletes and we should probably treat ourselves like
even
it.
Like with the chiropractor, we get our horses done
and teeth.
And teeth.
Well, I never.
And if you don't get yourself done, you're just burning your horse's money, because you might be hurting, and you're putting that pressure on the horse you're riding the same way, and that's why your horse is always out in the same place, because you're probably out in the same place as well.
It's crazy. Like, we got to take care of ourselves. Like when I ordered my saddle, I was like, oh, like look at those inlaid stirrups. They look so cool. Like, I'm going to look the coolest person at the barrel race. And then I get it and I'm just like, oh my God, I hate these. Like, I thought like first year I was like, oh, my leg can go so much more forward and I can get a deeper seat because there's more movement. And I'm just like, oh my God, my feet can swing so far back now. Like, I can kick my horse in the flank if I want.
Do you ever get like, pinched with those too?
No, I've never gotten pinched. I've seen that people like right on there that they get pinched, but I've never gotten pinched. But I just find that if I stand up, like my feet can kind of go. I mean, they look cool, but I don't like them.
So should we get into the more of the saddle fit of the horse, because after you measure the horse and measure the people, do you start putting trees on, or what do you do next?
So once I've done fitting the rider, then I just kind of take a minute and I step back and I just get them to square up the horse and I get a good visual of kind of how the back is looking, is a real thick built horse. If it is a real thick built horse, mm-hmm. where are they the most thickest? Where, you know, how is that going to affect the saddle fit? Are they a really narrow horse? Do they have a lot of drop in behind that wither? Is there a lot of muscling, or is it, you know, not even muscling, I guess, too, in the wither? And are they hip high? Are they wither high? Are they both hip and wither high? So I just kind of step back and I get a good visual as to what kind of the shape, I guess, of the horse's back and leading up to the horse's back, withers, shoulders, stuff like that. And I usually just say, okay, I'm going to, so say we're looking at a really, really wide horse. So I'll be like, okay, let's start at a wide, mm-hmm. and let the horse tell us where we need to go. So then I'll just get my little step stool and get my wide tree, and I'll put it on the back. And then, so what I'm looking for is I'm looking for contact, because we want to be at least 80% contact on a horse's back to 100% as we can. We're mm-hmm. never going to get a true 100, because no tree is perfect and no horse is perfect.
Yeah.
But we want to be at least 80% contact on that horse's back,
yeah,
as close to its 100 as we can get. So, like on that wide horse, I'm looking for the contact, and then I'm also looking for rub spots, pressure points, and if it's bridging or not. So, if a saddle is bridging, what that means is it's not making contact, and you can usually see daylight between the horse's back, and you can see right through it type thing, or you can get your hand in there. And so that's just creating pressure points as well. And mm-hmm. so that's probably telling me that it's not wide enough in the bar angle, not in the gullet necessarily. Probably just not flat enough bar to go around that big withered or big shouldered horse mm-hmm. type deal. Mm-hmm. So what I would probably then do is grab the same gullet and just grab a wider, flatter bar, and okay. then put that on the horse and do the whole process all over. See how much contact we're getting, pressure points, is there any bridging, and then go from there. And if we've got it at that 740 on a good fit, we're going to have, like I said, almost 100% contact on that back. And then from there, I basically go and ask them to get their saddle pads, because saddle pads and saddle pad thicknesses play an even bigger part in a saddle fit than we give saddle pads credit to, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm fitting, I want that bareback fit, that perfect fit on that bareback, to mimic the same fit on the saddle pad.
Okay. So, what kind of pad typically, like, how would you go with a thinner pad then to get that, or?
Every horse is going to be different. So, basically I just ask you to grab your saddle pad, okay. and then, I put your pad on, and then I put my tree on, and we'll see. If we get bridging right away, so say you're in a 5-star 7/8 pad, and we mm-hmm. get bridging right away yeah. in that 740. We know that that 740 fits that bare back.
Mm-hmm.
So then we know that that pad thickness is too thick. We need to okay. bring that down, because we need to be able to have it touching closer mm-hmm. to the horse's back. So it asks you if you had like maybe 3/4 or a 1/2 inch. Thickness of pad, doesn't have to be a 5-star, but you know, just a thinner, mm-hmm. thinner contoured, anything contoured pad wise is going to work way better for your horse.
Yeah.
Cause you got to think of horses' back as like a curvy woman. You know what I mean? You've got to be able to follow the curvature of that horse's spine. So anything that's contoured is going to work really, really well for horses.
Okay.
Then I guess with the thickness too, so probably with a really, really thick horse, I mean, not always necessarily, but generally speaking, a 1/2 inch to a 3/4 inch pad is going to be well thick enough for them big, thick horses that way. And then once we get the exact same fit, whether it be a half inch or a 3/4 inch pad, once we have that exact fit on the pad that we do on the bareback, then I also ask the owner to come up and step on the step stool and to be able to view that both on the bareback and on the saddled back as well.
Okay. So earlier when you were talking about maybe you'd grab like the same gullet size but different bar. So is there a lot more sizes than just like the number 10 and the standard and the wide in the double J's?
There is hundreds of different.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh,
cool.
So our gullets are the double J Pro. They start for standard. It starts at 6 3/4 for a double J Pro, and then for the Posey standard, it's a 6.5 inch gullet. It's the little difference there is just the way the fronts meet up with the pommel, so that's why there's just a 1/4 inch difference between the two of them. But double J is so customizable that you can have anything from a 6.5 45 degree to a 6.5 35 degree angle bar. So if you have, I guess, a really high wither but a really big chested or really big shouldered horse but has an itty bitty wither, you might need something like a 6.5 35, or like my stud horse here, he's a 7 inch gullet, but the 40 degree angle bar was too big for him, but the 43 was too tight for him, so he had to go to a custom 7 38 degree bar.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's not as wide as a 40, but it's not as narrow as a 43. So you can have anything in between those angles, from a 35 to a 45 degree angle bar.
Wow.
Okay, and do you have all those trees, or do you kind of do a basis off the trees and then go from there if you're still not quite perfect?
Yeah, like I have a whole goalie bag full of trees. So like the top trees in Canada that I fit the most horses to, I do have them here. And then I do have a few oddball or off sizes that I've have fitted, and I was like, I think I should get a tree and keep that one in here just in my little back pocket type thing. It would be nice to have one. And then, yeah, so, like, if we're into, like, that 7-inch gullet at a 35-degree bar angle and it's not fitting, then I have to custom hand fit. And okay. I have to do drawings, and then I have my protractor able to give me the actual bar angle that that horse needs. So if I don't have the specific tree that that horse needs, then I have a combination of trees that we can put together also that I think might work, or I can also do the hand drawing as well and get exactly what that bar angle is for that horse. But if we go to a custom angle bar like that, it's only going to really probably fit that particular horse. So I guess ask the gals, you know, like, is this the route that you're wanting to go? Because do you think you'll get another horse this wide? Because at a 735, you're looking at a really, really thick, wide, wide horse, almost like a rope horse body style.
Okay.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you want your horse to be in shape, or at least.
And to get a saddle fitting.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah. That's crazy. So I just wanted to go back to, we were talking about saddle pads. I've actually always been wanting to ask this question after I watched this YouTube video. So my boyfriend loves Pat Puckett. He's like this old dude that like doesn't give a doesn't care about anything. He just like will say what he thinks, and he's super opinionated and really funny. But he's a horseman and rides horses and ropes and does training videos. And I like Cole's obsessed with him. Like I'm getting him a shirt that says Pat Puckett's number one fan. And and so he has like this theory that you get the saddle to fit you and the pad to fit your horse. How, like, I don't know how, or like, I guess you could just use enough saddle pad to make your horse's saddle fit is like his theory. So I wanted, like, I have no opinion on this. So I just wanted to know what yours was.
Yeah, yes and no, I guess, because if you don't have a proper fitting tree, there's not enough padding sometimes, or not enough, or not less, I guess, or I don't know how to properly say that, but like if your horse, so say your horse has rock to its back, okay, so now your tree needs rock. Now if you can't get, I guess, a tree with rock in the bar, you can build that up with your pads, or you can get that correction pad. Okay. And what you do is take the shims out of the front and the back and put them in the middle, because that's where the rock is, and that's where that horse would need that support for the for that rock. But without knowing what the fit is on your horse, I don't know if I could agree with that or not.
Okay, I've always wanted to ask that question.
Some cases, maybe. Yeah, in some cases,
it's
no
the old
chance.
Cowboy way, so I just kind of wanted to know.
A lot of people think that more padding is ultimate, or is the key, or is the right thing to do. It may or may safe. Not be, but
yeah. Well, you what see I so have many found people double is padding. That
a lot of us gals are over padding our horses. We need to be more close contact to our horses, so we don't have all that, what do I want to call it?
Movement.
Not absorption, but, you know, the smacking of, you know, your feet, you know, you want to get rid of that. We just want to stay nice, close contact. We want that bar to be nice, close contact. So everything, we're not, you know, we're not smacking that saddle and everything is being smacked down on that horse's back.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
It does.
I don't know what the right term, I guess, would be for that. But
I know what you're saying, though. And like, I even see this with like professional girls when they're running their horses, even on TV. You see the back of that saddle moving up and down when the horse is running. And even it's not like huge, but you can still see it moving. Is that indication that the saddle isn't fitting perfectly? Or is that just something to expect when running a horse?
Yeah, not necessarily. No, you'll never, ever get that saddle to... It's a moving part, right? Just as horse is moving. You'll never, ever get that saddle to sit completely flat on that horse's back.
Okay.
Like, there is going to be some movement. But if we can get a little bit of movement in a half-inch, three-quarter-inch, maybe, depending on the horse, a 7/8-inch pad, but we don't need... Like, our barrel racers' saddles and our saddle pads don't need to be an inch or a half-inch-and-a-half thick. That's too thick. And especially if you don't have a proper angle or a proper saddle fit, what you're doing is you're just creating that problem and you're lifting it an inch half higher off your horse and creating a lot more problems, a lot of maybe rocking of that saddle and maybe a lot more rolling of that saddle because it's not close contact as well.
Yeah, and maybe then in turn potentially causing balance problems or whatever.
Yeah, you could be causing a lot more problems with a thicker pad than with a thinner pad. Yeah. And it all just depends, too, on the horse and what's going on with that horse, too. So that's why in a saddle fit, at least we can kind of pinpoint as to what's going on with the soreness in the horse. We can break it all down that way, and then we can break down the fit and be like, oh, that makes total sense why my saddle was rolling to one side or the other. And with the rolling too, horses are either left or right sided strong, just like people. You're either right or you're lefty, and horses are exactly the same thing. So you'll see on a horse, when I put the tree on, I'll ask you, does this horse go better to the right, does this horse go better to the left? And they're kind of standing there like, how do you know that? I'm like, just the way I can feel in the tree more room on either side. And so sometimes we may have to shim that the smaller side, depending on how like less of muscling there is, because that saddle or that tree will want to roll drastically to that smaller side, depending on how less of muscle there is there. So we're trying to balance, keep that saddle tree balance or the saddle balance as well, and then the rider as well in the tree too. So there's lots of moving parts that we got to try to keep level and balanced.
It's a big job. There is a lot to know.
It gets to be overwhelming. I feel bad sometimes in the sits because people are just like, I don't even know what you said. I'm like, don't worry. Let it sink in. And then call me if you have any questions. I'm always here to answer questions. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then you did a really good write up and whatnot too. Like, I think I have records from the both times.
That's really awesome.
I've seen you.
Yeah. You should have everything that we go over, right from you as the rider and what we found with you and the horse and saddle pad thickness and shimming and where we need to shim, and also take pictures too. And yeah, anything that you need, I'm there to help you.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So say you throw a tree on a horse or a saddle on a horse, what do you want it to feel like underneath with your hand? Is there anything you're specifically looking for?
Not so much under my hand. I guess under my hand would just be the right side or the left side strong for that horse, and just the muscling, I guess. Really watching for pinch points. You'll find that too with a horse that's really drastically have a lot of muscle loss in that wither area. So that can be due to multiple things. It could be poor saddle fit, too thick a pad with a poor saddle fit. Maybe there's an injury to that horse, and that's why there's not a lot of muscle gain in that area or anything like that. So just kind of seeing that and what we need to do to make that tree ride balanced or whatnot. I can give you some exercises to do with your horses to help build that side up a bit. And then once we get that muscling back, we can take those shims out one at a time type thing to still keep that saddle to be able to ride balanced and level as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then I can't even remember who told us this, but just like while riding, if you have a realization like this at a saddle fitting or just when you check out your own saddle, somebody told us they like to start their horse's workout on the weaker side or weaker lead and then do the exercise on the good lead or good side, and then go back and do that weaker side one more time before you quit. So you kind of double up on that, and maybe that would help you even out if you did have that situation going in your saddle tree a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you'll notice too, keep it in the back of your mind too when you're riding. Are you shifting to one side? Are you always pulling your saddle to one side or the other side? Or is your saddle rocking forward? That, you know, kind of when you're riding, you can be like, because usually we just get on and we go. Sometimes we don't even think about it, and we don't even notice that we're continuously putting pressure in that left stirrup to bring that saddle over to the left because it's wanting to roll to the right. So if you're out riding, just take a couple minutes and, you know, after your ride or go through your stuff after a ride and be like, why do I got really whirly hairs on the right side, or why do I have really crimped hair on the left side of my horse's wither, or why am I always pulling myself to the left or always pulling myself to the right? Or, you know, just kind of have a conversation with yourself, I guess, and go through your stuff and be like, I've got questions, and maybe it is saddle fit, maybe it is pad thickness issue. Is this stuff that you can try that way too? Like, I mean, I know pads are expensive, but I have one saddle for my horses, but I have three pads for each horse that I run. So I have a winter pad, I've got a coming into shape pad, and then I've got a running, like a barrel racing in shape running pad. Because I know my tree fits my horses, but as they gain weight, lose weight, hair up, hair off, they change just like us. We don't, in the summertime, we don't wear the same pants that we do in the house in the wintertime as we do in the summer. So same with them. They change, especially here in Canada, they change quite a bit as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. When you said like whirly hairs or crimped hairs, that just like made me think of a random question. What would you be suspicious of if you had kind of almost like crimped hairs under your saddle pad, kind of at the very back of your saddle slash saddle pad on your horse. It's not like rub marks, or maybe it is, maybe it develops into rub marks. Like, what kind of saddle fit issue does that sound like a symptom of to you?
Crimped hair could be like pressure. It's usually white hair scalding, or like really, really crimped, tight crimped hair is usually pressure. The whirlies, or like they almost look like little whirly birds, or, you know, almost knots, that could be from maybe too wide or not enough pad, or maybe needs shimming on that side. And a lot of gals also ask with dry spots. A dime, like loony toony, quarter, dime, nickel, dry, those are usually pressure points. If you got a fist or bigger, like a closed fist or bigger, or maybe even a hand, that's just maybe meaning bridging, or something is just not touching. So if you've got nice, flat, dry hair, you're just not making contact enough to make that spot sweat. But if you have the whirly birds, or the really, really crimped hair, that could be pressure. If you get the white hairs, that's pressure, number one pressure. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so basically when you take that horse's saddle pad and saddle off, you want to have a nice, even sweat under there. You want it wet from front to back type thing. That's what we're going for. But if we don't have a nice, even sweat, I mean, things could be the horse as well. Some horses have that sweating issue as well. So, I mean, you just kind of got to really pay attention, just watch for those. What I really, really watch for is, like I said, the loony, toony, dime, nickel, quarter.
Those kind of dry spots.
And then if you're getting the crimped hair, that's also pressure as well. So I just kind of really watch for those. And then, like, also the whirlies, I guess. That's where I'm like, okay, we need to start shimming here, or maybe we need a thicker pad or something like that. So,
yeah. Okay. Good cool. to know.
I just know I got a book with you on my horse is in shape.
There was one more thing I think maybe we forgot. When you were measuring the horses, you also did a back measurement to make sure your saddle wasn't too, like, you didn't have too big of a seat size. Depending.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good one. That's probably the most important measurement that I would do is your horse's back length. So what that number means is it tells us the length of bar that the horse can actually physically carry. So I know that I'm riding in a 16-inch seat. So that's going to be a 24-inch long bar. So when I'm out horse shopping, I need to buy a horse that has a back length of at least 24 inches. If I were to buy a horse, say it had a 19-inch long back, and I'm in a 24-inch seat, or like, not seat, sorry, 16-inch seat, but a 24-inch bar length, that horse has not enough ribs to carry the length of my bar. And I'm going to really sore up that horse's loin, SI, terribly bad, because the horse actually physically doesn't have enough ribs to carry the length of my bar. Now, if the horse had a 26-inch back, no problem, because I'm on the positive side of his rib. But if he was at a 19-inch long back, then I'm on the negative side of him. So I got to really kind of... because I know that's my body. Unfortunately, my thigh ain't going to change. I was born with nice, fabulous thighs. big thighs.
Too.
So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I have to deal with. So I just have to be able to find a horse that's going to be able to carry that length of bar that I need. So unfortunately, it does happen sometimes that the rider is too big for that specific horse. But I would rather be
how do you break that to somebody?
Truthfully, honest.
Yeah.
How do you break the news? Make the call that way. But yeah. Yeah. At least you have the information and the knowledge then. Very difficult, but like I said, I would rather, I guess I take it as I would rather know than not know what's going on with my horse. Like, if I'm paying for this information, I want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, like, well, your length of bar is just too long for this horse's back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can either just tuck that away in your memory bank and get a program going then with your chiro and your massage, and have that horse always booked in every 3 weeks or every month or whatever that horse needs to be able to carry that length of bar. Then that's stuff that you can work with your vets and your massage and your chiro too. So I mean, it's not like you have to just be like, oh, I can't ride the horse anymore, but you're going to have to put in a little bit more time, a little bit more work, and probably a little bit more money to keep that horse going down the road for you as well.
Yeah. This great information.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I had no idea about that before.
No. And I know, like, Megan's been to you. So when I bought Coralie, she's like, you're probably not going to want a bigger seat than like a 14 and a half or 15 even on him, because his back is so short. And that's probably where her comment came from, because she's seen you before. Yeah. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And if, like, if we get to that too, then we at least have that option with the Double J Pro, and we can also shave the bars down as much as we can as well. So, like, say it's nip and tuck type thing, and you're like, oh, I'm okay with a posey, or I'm okay in a pro. Well, then we can put you in, like I said, I'm in 16 in a posey, but I'm a 15 in a pro. So that's an inch difference in the length of bar. So if that bar is going to work better in that 15-inch for that horse, that put me in the pro, you know, raise the cantle to a 4.5, let's put a taller pommel on it, make it kind of ride like the posey, but without the posey name, I guess, because the length of bar is just going to be too long. So that's the nice thing with Double J, is everything is so customizable that we can make
something.
Anything really work for you and that. The course that you're needing to get everything out of type deal.
That is so cool. I had no idea that Double J was that custom.
Yeah, you can, any part, like a pommel, horns, oh, they got so many different horns. I'm getting, because I got a big thigh and those little transverse rex arms, now that I'm riding these, you know, powerhouse style horses, I'm having a hard time, like, I feel really forward because I have to actually reach forward for that horn and down. So I got them to really customize a Julie saddle is what I call it. So we put a taller pommel and we put a taller horn on it. So basically I don't have to reach down and ahead. I can just reach like a normal barrel racer without having to be thrown forward.
Perfect.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
What is, what's the timeline on custom ordering a Double J? And like, how busy are you? Because you always seem pretty busy whenever I'm chatting with you or try to see you at a show.
Yeah, it's insane right now. So usually it is 8 weeks. We are trying to get back to 8 weeks. Right now, if you were to order tomorrow, it's going to be 12 weeks and then 2 weeks to ship. So it's going to be quite some time to get to your door. We find with COVID is that everybody's actually taking the time now to get their horses fitted and get equipment to work. So last June, we were already 8 weeks behind. And then after the NFR in Texas, it's just been full-blown chaos with everybody wanting to get horses and new saddles and everything for this upcoming year, because I think people, like I said, have had the time to get a proper fit, and now they're ready to go on and win type things. So we are quite busy, but we are at 12 weeks. We're working hard to get back to our 8 weeks, but for the current time right now, we are at 12 weeks and then 2 weeks in Canada to get to your door. Darn customs takes a while.
Yeah, but worth the wait, it sounds like, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
So we talked a lot about fit, but I know we had some questions about some specialty type saddles for horses. So I guess Steph has a couple questions. I just had one. So one of my horses is a little bit mutton withered. Is there something that would be good for him, like that you could think of the top of your head for a horse that is mutton withered?
Yeah, so that's probably going to be like your 740 or your 735, depending on how thick and how mutton withered that horse actually is. Mm-hmm. So, like these past fits that I have fit this year so far, a lot of our horses are, we've changed our horses so much since I started fitting till today's horses. Like they have changed, wow, really mm-hmm. changed. They're really thick now. Like yeah. most of these horses that I'm fitting today are the 740, like a wide to a 740 mm-hmm. okay. to maybe even a 735. There's been a handful of 735s I've had to fit, but a lot of 740s.
Mm-hmm. Like even my little gray horse, I thought she would still be pretty narrow, but she fits a wide.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure Corley would be a wide then yeah. for probably. Sure. Yeah. Big time. Because he was a stud until he was 5, so he's a big boy. Some bulk. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And some horses are really, like, you wouldn't even peg them as that. Like, when I put them on, and sometimes I get shocked. And I'm like, wow. Like, you don't yeah. look that wide at all, but the wide is bridging. It's, and then you put them, like, oh, okay, well, let's put that 7, and it fits it like a glove. So, mm-hmm. yeah. The horses have really changed from, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day. In 1995, when I started running, you know, everybody was riding thoroughbreds, you know, running thoroughbreds, a lot narrower mm-hmm. of a horse. Now, like, our girls today are running a lot thicker, heavier bone-styled horses, I guess, maybe to do with all the types of ground and everything like that. But, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. our horses are a lot thicker now than they were.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I have a saddle that was redone that's over 100 years old. And I'm actually really curious to measure it now. So I just have like a real random question because I feel like I've never had like a perfect answer on this. Where is the proper way or what is the proper way to measure a gullet? Because I feel like some people measure it in different spots. So what is the standard way to measure that and then the seat as well?
Okay, yeah. So on Facebook, you'll see about 100 different ways to...
Yeah, there's so many different ways.
Yeah, for the gullet. So to get a true gullet, you have to have the tree. But if you don't, because obviously we're not going to have that.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is the point, I guess, where it meets the front of your skirt. So you can see the inside of the pommel. You want to cut the pommel in half with your measuring tape and then measure across the same spot that you just measured from across the other side and put it in half as well. So if you're measuring like, it's close to 6.5, well, it's probably 6.5. If it's close to 7, it's probably a 7 type thing or 6.75. Don't measure from concho to concho any further up or any lower down. That has nothing to do with the gullet at all. Seat size, you want to go from inside the pommel to the back of the seat. Now, when somebody tells you...
To the back of the seat or to the inside of the back of the seat?
Well, you can go, yeah, to where the stitching is, I guess you can go.
Yeah.
But where you want your ride room. So say you're in... Say the tree is a 14.5-inch tree, you're probably, your ride room is probably only 14 inches.
Oh, okay.
Because your butt, you're not riding on top of the stitching, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your actual ride room is only 14 inch, but it's probably on a 14.5-inch tree.
Hmm. Okay.
So that might be, too, when you're riding different brands. That's why it might feel quite a bit different because of the ride room.
Yeah.
Or... if they say, okay, well, this saddle was a 13.5, yes, the tree is probably a 13.5, but your ride room is probably only 13 inches.
Okay.
So that's when, if you're shopping used, get them to measure like get them to get good, clear pictures so you can actually see where the what ride room you're going to have. Okay. And then you say like, okay, yeah, it's a, I actually have their 13.5-inch ride room there. Yeah, it's probably on a 14-inch tree. So I'm going to ask to ride in that one or, you know, try it out or whatever like that. But at least if you can get nice, clear pictures, then you'll know before you get it type thing if you're going to have enough room.
Mm-hmm. Good shopping tip.
Yeah, that's a great shopping tip.
So doing some research into kissing spine, I found out that Double J has a spine relief system. What is the spine relief system? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
You bet. So Brittany Posey and her vet and Double J designed this new tree, I guess, that can be put into any of our Double J saddles so anybody and get the spinal relief. I have the spinal relief on all of my saddles now. I just don't even fret around. I just get it.
Okay.
So, what it is, it is just channeled and it's open. So on most of your skirts, you'll see at the very back that they're laced and they're all pulled together and laced at the back.
Okay. Yeah.
The Double J's, whatever, the Posies, the Pros, whatever you'd like to get, they're channeled. So they're open and you can either get them with skirts that are opened, or you can get the intimidator. So basically it's just your tree that is wrapped and it's still open at the back, and or the feather lights. So the new feather lights have this as well, that they are just, the tree is just wrapped and they're open at the back as well. So basically it's putting zero pressure along that spine, just your tree. So when I bring those trees and you see that tree sitting on your horse's back, that's exactly how it's sitting, wrapped in leather.
Okay.
So channeled it all the way from the back right up to the front. And it'll never ever touch the spine. Because if that spine is already touching, whether they inject it or they do the surgery to fix it to loosen it up, I guess, so it's not touching, that saddle is not putting any pressure along that spine. So that spine isn't going to continue to touch and rub.
Interesting. And so do you have, I guess you said that you have it on all your saddles. So when somebody gets a fitting, they can see or demo this tree or system?
Yeah, I bring, I try to bring a Double J Pro and a Posey Pro along, and I do bring one with the intimidator, and it has a spinal release system on it. So people can get a good, clear visual as to what it looks like, what it's doing, if they like it or not, and then also weight-wise, they can lift it up and play with it that way, and sit in it and ride it on the stand or whatever they need to do. But yeah, at least people can actually get eyes on it and know what it's all about that way and make a judgment if they want to use that system or not.
Interesting. And so you're just getting it on everything going forward?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great technology, so I just don't even hesitate. I just put it on everything, because that way if something changes with a horse, or, you know, if they're growing, they're hip high, they're wither high, and if the wither never ever catches up, horses with rock in their back are generally going to have at some point, maybe not touching, but close. There's going to be some probably discomfort in that horse's back, more than a horse with a straight back. Mm-hmm. With that rock, I've got a gelding here. We did everything with him to figure out what was going on, and finally last year I was like, that's it, let's just do all the x-rays, and sure shit, it was kissing spine. So we got him injected and I got him a saddle with the spinal release system, and boy did he have, I had a brand new horse. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, why didn't I do it sooner? I was kicking myself. So, yeah.
That's really cool.
Really, really happy with it.
I'm going to have to come and try one of those on another fitting here sometime in the coming months, hopefully.
Yeah, that sounds good. You'll like them.
Yeah. Are you headed to Alberta in the next few months, or?
I'm the only one in here in Canada, so I'm being pulled all over the place. So, yeah, basically what I try to do is I try to gather up as many girls in one area as I can to make it worthwhile for everyone. And then that's one spot that I can get to. And then I can go somewhere else to one spot, because I just can't be running
all
running
over
around the whole countryside for only two over here, one over here type thing. So I try mm-hmm. to, it takes a lot of planning and trying and organizing to get everybody in one spot at, you know, at specific times. But I find that it does work a little bit better. So as soon as I have enough gals interested, I kind of put a little thing out on my Facebook saying, hey, I'm going to be here, this arena, this time, you know, call in, book your spot, and away we go type thing. So it seems to work a little nicer that way.
Okay, perfect. And actually, speaking of that, so if people want to follow along for any saddle fitting information or location or dates, where is a good place to find you for that?
I am on Facebook, and it's called Double J Saddle Fitter Julie Success. And I have everything on there, lots of tips and tricks on there, as well Perfect. As where I'm headed to, where I'm going to, where I'm coming back from. So if I'm coming back from a big fit and you're along the way on my way back, I can also stop in, type thing like that. So if you just kind of follow along and be like, hey, that might work, or can I get a saddle fitting when you're here, just contact me. You can Facebook message me, you can call me, you can email me. I try to get back to everybody in the evening. We farm and ranch during the day, so it's a little bit hectic during the day, but in the evening I try to get back to everybody. So if you just haven't heard from me, just wait till about 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and hopefully you'll have a message from me by then.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Ooh, personal jeans.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
You owe me a pop. Yeah.
Is there anything else that you can think of that we didn't cover that you would want to cover?
The only thing I can say is don't let the seat size number affect your judgment for riding. Everybody True. Is different. Just because you're not in a 13, 13.5, 14, 14.5 seat, doesn't mean that you can't be a barrel racer. I am in a 16-inch barrel saddle. It's just a number. It's what fits my body, what fits my size. So don't think that you can't be a barrel racer if you're in a 15, 15.5, 16, maybe even a 16.5-inch seat. It's just a number, just like anything else. When you're comfortable and when you're confident, your horse is comfortable and confident, and you guys can, as a team, together, you can conquer the world.
I love that
message.
That was great.
Yeah.
You killed it. So we actually, okay, so we have like our two questions that we like to ask at the end.
So we like to end off our podcast just by getting you to share with us something maybe in your own riding that you like to work on. Like, we all have things we like to work on. And what is that thing for you?
Speed, I guess. So I like to sprint my horses.
Okay.
I ride 8 miles every other day, walking, or long trotting and loping. And then I really want to work on my sprinting. So either with the quad or on their backs as well. So I really, really like to sprint my horses. And ever since I've been doing that, it seems to be paying off a little bit better for me here.
Nice.
Like, want to continue to try and sprint these guys as much as I can, I guess.
Fun. With the quad, it sounds like you like to live dangerously.
Western out here.
I love it.
Pop a wheelie with your horse attached.
Yeah, I don't know.
My horse, like, gets, like, once she gets into a lope beside, like, a motorized vehicle, she gets into bucking and playing. Like, we're good at, like, a long trot, like, going pretty fast, like, you know, 15-kilometer long trot or whatever. But then faster than that, she gets silly.
That's like if I'm ponying them. Trotting is fine.
Lope? Nope.
Nope. Or she'll start
biting. They seem to enjoy it. I don't know. I guess I got crazy horses. They hear that quad and they're at the gate. They're, like,
let's go. It's time.
Oh, my beer, let's go.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, we're not gonna let you off the hook with this show. We need to know something funny or embarrassing that happened to you, either fitting a saddle, going down the barrel racing road, or anything actually to do with horses. So if you could please share something with us.
Oh, multiple millions. It's really sad that I'm out walking, good. I don't know, craziness, full of craziness. So, saddle fitting, yeah, I have my, because I'm short, like I said, I'm short and I'm heavy. So, in the winter time, you know, plastic freezes in the barn and the, or in the arena, and the arena was heated, but, you know, after traveling and minus 50 weather, my poor little step stool was completely frozen, plastic. Uh-oh. And I go to saddle fit this poor first horse of the day, step on my step stool, and I shatter it. Like, I shatter it into a thousand pieces, and I'm like sitting on my ass in the dirt with shrapnel around me. It looks like a bomb went off. and so...
Did the horse spook? Was it like, woo?
Well, jump to the side. The horse and the owner handled it really well. I was just like, oh, my God. Like, that just happened. Like, I just shattered a plastic stool. And everybody's like, oh, Julie, it's okay. Like, it was because it was frozen. I'm like, yeah. that's right. Not because I'm like... fast or anything, but I shattered that poor little plastic step stool. So
I've definitely
get a heavy duty step stool when you are traveling in the Canadian winters for saddle fitting.
That's a great realization.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I think we've all like sat on a chair and just like had it break, you know, whether it be plastic like an outdoor or like a camping chair or a kitchen chair or something.
Oh yeah,
I've broken multiple chairs for sure.
Yeah, I was just glad I didn't give that poor gal a heart attack. I was just like, oh my goodness, gave me a little bit of a heart attack.
And it hurts when you fall right on your butt. I always go like I just like knocks the wind out of you. Like bad. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're just not expecting, like, it just, you know, you're just going up, like, I've always done a million times, and just basically come crashing down, and I was just happy that the tree didn't hit me in the face, knock out my chiclets or anything like that. So.
Workers' comp.
Yeah, I wish. No.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on our show. Like, you gave us so much knowledge. I'm so excited to take all of this stuff I've learned and apply it to my own horses. And it's really cool to learn so much more about Double J. They seem like an amazing company. Mm-hmm. And,
well, thank you very much. And, get rich or try riding.
Or ride trying.
You almost said it.
Ride trying. I knew I would wreck it.
That was perfect. I love it.